Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Today, Josh Davis will share the latest headlines from the end times. Each year, we produce a calendar to raise funds for our prison ministry. This special ministry provides Bibles, prayer, and encouragement to prisoners across the country. This year, our calendar theme is Beyond the Veil. Created by Marginal Mysteries host Micah Van Hus, the Beyond the Veil 2026 calendar includes stunning imagery, a guide for reading through the Bible in a year, the major Jewish holidays, and right now a special Get One, Give Two. That means each calendar that you order provides two free calendars for incarcerated individuals through our Onesimus Prison Ministry. This calendar, with its one-of-a-kind images, is perfect for daily encouragement, Bible study inspiration, or as a meaningful gift. Order your Beyond the Veil calendar today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order online, swrc.com. We do have discounts available for folks that order multiple calendars, so order today. 1-800-652-1144. A state representative in Ohio recently proposed legislation to outlaw artificial intelligence marriages. This might seem silly at first glance, but there are many legal implications behind this proposed law. Can AI own property? Can AI systems be used as a power of attorney? A new horizon for humanity approaches. Plus, a university recently placed a trigger warning on the Bible. But why? Josh Davis provides the details and biblical analysis on today's Headlines from the End Times.
Greetings, fellow Watchmen on the Wall, and welcome to another Headlines from the End Times. On today's episode, I want to share with you a story coming out of Ohio, how one lawmaker has proposed a comprehensive ban on, get this, marrying artificial intelligence systems. That's right. I'll bring you all the details about that story and another story where a university has placed a trigger warning on, guess which book it is? It's the Holy Bible. That's right. This particular university has placed a trigger warning on the Bible. Why? And what's the details behind that? Well, we've got the information for you on today's Headlines from the End Times. Thank you so much for tuning in. Glad that we can spend this time together, dear fellow Watchmen on the Wall. Let's start with Ohio. Greetings to our friends there in that wonderful state. Well, you have a lawmaker who's taking aim at artificial intelligence in a way that few have expected. This is State Representative Claggett, and he has introduced House Bill 469 that would make it illegal for AI systems to be treated like people. The proposal would officially label them as non-sentient entities, cutting off any path toward legal personhood. This, according to a Fox News report. Now, non-sentient just simply means that they are non-living beings. You know, sometimes we talk about AI thinking. Well, it's not really thinking. It's performing a lot of calculations through the software programs, but it's not necessarily thinking in the sense that a human would think. In other words, that these AI systems are not a living being. That's really what the legislation is aimed at. And yes, it also includes a ban on marrying AI systems. Claggett, a Republican from Licking County and chair of the House Technology and Innovation Committee, said the measure is meant to keep humans firmly in control of machines. Doesn't this sound like some kind of dystopian novel that we're reading, that we've got to create a law so that the machines don't take over the planet? It sounds something that you would see in a movie or read in some kind of novel, but it's actually legitimate news coming with this new frontier that we are on the verge of exploring. He says that AI systems begin to act more like humans, the law has to draw a clear line between a person and a program. I believe that he's right, and I believe that we need to take these necessary steps and have these important conversations, and I'm glad There are states in the U.S. who are starting to have these kinds of conversations. Now, it seems like the marriage ban is just a silly kind of waste of time, but when you think about the legality of what marriage can do and what a spouse can do for the other, when you're talking about things like bank accounts and et cetera, that we'll get into, then you really begin to think how AI could be a part of these kinds of things. Now, what's this marriage ban all about? So under this proposed legislation, AI systems would not be able to own property. They would not be able to manage a bank account, would not be able to serve as a company executive. Can you imagine your boss being an AI chatbot and that you have to report to the AI chatbot and it's this collection of bots that are making decisions for the company based off the mountains of data that they can crunch? According to this proposed law, the AI systems would not have the same legal rights and responsibilities as people. So the bill also makes any marriage between a human and an AI or between two AI systems legally impossible. Representative Claggett believes the concern is not about robot weddings happening anytime soon. No, that's not why he's proposing this legislation. Instead, he wants to prevent AI from taking on the legal powers of a spouse, like holding the power of attorney, making financial decisions, or can you imagine an AI bot making medical decisions for someone else? It's time to pull the plug. He told me he wanted to die. And so you can, I'm trying to add a little bit of humor into this. This is a serious story. So the bill also specifies that if an AI causes harm, it's the human owners or developers who would be held responsible. That means a person can't blame their chatbot or automated system for mistakes or damage. Responsibility stays with the humans who built, trained, or used the AI system. Why is Ohio taking action on AI personhood? The timing of the bill is not just random. AI is spreading fast across nearly every industry. And I have told you about that. Pastor Larry Spargimino and I had a special report on AI on a recent Headlines from the End Times episode talking all about these kinds of things and this industrial revolution that we are on the verge of. As I've shared with you before, there are major leading corporation CEOs and presidents who are saying, we are going to see the biggest thing since the internet. And one said, we're going to see the biggest thing since electricity. This is how revolutionary they see these kinds of AI systems becoming for work, for our daily lives, for the way that the world moves and the way that the world works. That's the kind of revolution that we are on the verge of. And so now states are recognizing that, and they're beginning to have these conversations before we enter into this new frontier. Ohio has even started requiring schools to create rules for AI use in the classroom. And there are major data centers that are being built to power AI infrastructure in the state of Ohio. And so they're trying to come up with some legislation regarding those things. And these AI data centers will take massive, massive amounts of power and water. And so we have to stop and ask, where is this energy coming from? It's weird. It's ironic because you have people screaming for all these climate change kinds of things, and at the same time, they're building these massive AI plants that need a ton of energy to continue operations and to continue to crunch the data. By the way, I've got a special on next Friday's Headlines from the End Times all about climate change, so we'll get into that next time, Lord willing. Going back to this story, at the same time, AI is becoming more personal. There was a survey by a Florida-based marketing firm that found 22% of users said they had formed an emotional connection with an AI chatbot. 3% of people who were surveyed considered their chatbot a romantic partner. Can you imagine that? Another 16% said they wondered whether the AI they were talking to was sentient. It felt like having such a real conversation that I've got to be talking to another human being. That's how real this seemed to them. 3% of these chatbot users say that they had an emotional connection, a romantic connection with their chatbot. That kind of emotional attachment raises a whole lot of red flags, and these lawmakers are taking action. So if people start believing AI has feelings, that AI has its own individual intentions, it blurs the boundaries between the human and the machine, between human experience and digital simulation. And that's all that it is, frankly, at the end of the day. It's a digital simulation of a real relationship. Many of the people in the world want a relationship on their terms. And this is the danger of AI relationships. And again, this is opening another huge can of worms. It's because the relationship is such a selfish relationship for the user. They are the ones in charge. They get to decide how the relationship works. It's not two people learning and growing together. It's a selfish individual who wants their needs met. And I'm sorry, I know I'm being rough on people about these things, but we have to come face to face with reality. You don't have a legitimate relationship. It's a digital simulation that is self-centered and self-serving. And so we need to keep that in mind. These are not real relationships. But let's get back to the bigger picture here. We need to keep humans in control. Representative Claggett said the bill is about protecting human agency. He believes that AI is going to grow smarter and more capable, and as it does, it must never replace human decision-making. And Claggett has gone on to say, quote, "We see AI as having tremendous potential as a tool, but also tremendous potential to cause harm." And he goes on to explain some of those things and saying that we need to get ahead of this to establish some guardrails, some legal framework, before these developments outpace regulation and bad actors start to exploit the legal loopholes. They want the human beings to be held accountable for any kind of misconduct when it comes to the status of AI, no matter how sophisticated these machines may become for the state of Ohio. And this is spreading to other states, as we will mention momentarily. The proposed law would also reinforce that AI cannot make choices that affect human lives without oversight. Now, if this law is passed, it would ensure that no machine can act independently in matters of marriage, property, or corporate leadership. Some of the supporters of this bill see it as a safeguard for society, saying that technology should never gain the same legal footing as people. Now, there are some critics to this bill who say this proposal might be a solution to a problem that doesn't even exist yet. They warn that overly broad restrictions could slow down AI research and innovation in Ohio. But the skeptics do admit that this conversation is necessary because AI is changing so rapidly. It's evolving faster than most laws can keep up with, and questions like rights and ownership and accountability are becoming harder to ignore. So what are some of these other states doing about these kinds of things? Well, the state of Utah is doing some similar kinds of things, having these conversations. So is the state of Missouri. In fact, they have a House Bill 1462 called the AI Nonsentience and Responsibility Act that would formally declare AI systems as nonsentient and prevent them from acquiring legal status, marriage rights, corporate roles, or property ownership, very similar to what the state of Ohio is doing. Idaho also doing something similar as well. In the end, this debate is not limited to one state. The report continues. It raises an important question about how society should balance the power of innovation with the need to protect human control. And friends, we see the prophetic connection here with this story, and we understand how that someone like the Antichrist could use AI systems to assert his authority, to assert his control, to bring in a one-world government, a one-world economy especially, and it could be incorporated into a one-world system of worship. And so we see the stage being set for the biblical end-time scenario as we are opening up what I would consider to be Pandora's box. Now, friends, don't forget that Headlines from the End Times is a weekly feature of every single Prophecy in the News television episode and every single issue of the Prophecy in the News magazine. If you'd like to subscribe to the Prophecy in the News magazine, you can do so by giving us a call, 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or visit prophecyinthenews.tv. Again, that's prophecyinthenews.tv. Don't forget, you can catch every single episode of Watchmen on the Wall, every single weekly episode of Prophecy in the News TV on the free SWRC mobile app. Just go to the app store on your mobile device and type in these four letters. That's all you have to do, SWRC. And once you download the mobile app, check back every single day for brand new content from SWRC. The weekly Prophecy in the News television show episodes are uploaded there every single Sunday. And then Monday through Friday, you have Watchmen on the Wall episodes, brand new right there. Lots of other content coming for the SWRC mobile app. Download it today for free, dear friends. If you're a new listener, we say welcome. You are a friend of SWRC. Give us a call. Ask for your free welcome packet. Give us a call. Our number is 1-800-652-1144. You'll start receiving our monthly Prophetic Observer newsletter, along with some other crucial information from our ministry. And don't forget our featured resources of this week. Our 2026 calendar is available now. It's called Beyond the Veil, designed by our Marginal Mysteries director, Micah Van Hus. This calendar is available right now. For every calendar you purchase, you enable us to send two calendars free of charge to inmates across America. And we've received thousands of requests for calendars from inmates, and we are waiting to send those out. Thank you so much for your prayers and support in this gospel outreach. And I call it a gospel outreach because on the very first page of the calendar, when you open it up, there's a clear, concise presentation of the gospel. You know, we've had inmates write this ministry and say, I opened that up, I read those verses, and the Lord spoke to my heart, and I received Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about, dear friends. That's why we do our annual calendar, to get out the gospel, to get out discipleship materials. Thank you so much for helping us with this. And by the way, I'm currently leading an Israel tour, and I've been teasing this in previous weeks and previous episodes, but the information's here. It's live. It's available. We're going to do it again next year. That's right. November 8th through the 18th, 2026, we have an Israel tour coming up. I look forward to returning to Israel, and I want you to join me on this wonderful trip. You can find out more information on the events page at swrc.com. Registration is now open for this trip. We look forward to doing it November 8th through the 18th, 2026, and we want you to join us on this Israel tour. It's a trip of a lifetime, an amazing opportunity. We'd love for you to join us. Now let's get to this other story that I mentioned at the very beginning, and it comes out of the University of Sheffield in the United Kingdom. They're facing backlash after the school has warned students that studying events in Scripture, including the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, can be triggering, and so the study of them should be avoided by some students. The university has placed the trigger warning on the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, claiming without any kind of explanation behind their claim that the events leading up to the death of Christ depict graphic bodily injury and sexual violence. That's what they say, sexual violence. What? So the same label was also placed on the book of Genesis for the account of Cain and Abel. The Daily Mail, which received details of this advisory under the Freedom of Information Act, called the guidance to students bizarre and highlighted the voices speaking out against the university's actions. This according to a Harbinger's Daily report. We appreciate our friends over there at that wonderful ministry as well. Christians and historians last night said the warnings were misguided, absurd, and incompatible with discussions about morality, the Daily Mail stated, noting that experts were, quote, at a complete loss to explain the inclusion of sexual violence in the warnings, end quote. Andrea Williams, she's the chief executive of the Christian Legal Center there in the UK, pointedly called out the university for its gross mischaracterization of Scripture and steps to discourage the study of God's Word. She said, quote, "Applying trigger warnings to salvation narratives that have shaped our civilization is not only misguided, but absurd." She went on to say, "Singling out the Bible in this way is discriminatory and deeply ill-informed. To suggest that the crucifixion story involves sexual violence is not just inaccurate, it's a profound misreading of the text. The account of Jesus' death is not a tale of trauma. It's the ultimate expression of love, sacrifice, and redemption central to the Christian faith," end quote. So the university has defended its actions, calling the warning a standard academic tool and insisting it is simply preparing students who might find such graphic details difficult. Though many academic institutions have God-honoring roots, we understand that the universities have come under intense scrutiny for vigorously pushing students toward an anti-biblical worldview. And that's something that I have told you about right here on Watchmen on the Wall and Headlines from the End Times. We had a recent story about Harvard University and the kinds of things that they are doing right now, from what great spiritual heights they have fallen. And we see these universities, many of them in our Ivy League here in the United States of America, were originally founded to teach and to train pastors, to raise up a next generation of faithful ministers of God's Word. And today, we see them moving in the opposite direction. And in the UK, that is often referred to as a post-Christian society, although there are some wonderful Christian people there. When we're talking about higher education and things of that kind in the UK, it seems to be very much a post-Christian society. And we see them moving in this direction. And friends, we understand that studies have shown over recent years, and I'm talking about going back even 15 plus years, that anywhere from 70 to 80% of those who grew up in an evangelical home and they go off to college, about 4 years when they graduate from college, 70 to 80%, the numbers bear out, say that they are no longer a Christian. And there is story after story after story after story of young people who are indoctrinated on campus. Their views are radically different than what it was going into that. They think that they have seen the light, but in reality, they have turned to the darkness, haven't they? Spiritually speaking, and Jesus talks about that extensively in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, an educated man, a man who had lots of training, who had lots of education, who had lots of schooling, who was seen as being successful. And Jesus talked to him about the difference of walking in the light and walking in the darkness. And he says, Nicodemus, to paraphrase the message in John chapter 3, Nicodemus, you are still in the darkness. He had so much education. He had so much knowledge, but yet he still walked in the darkness. And there are people today who have education about God's Word in their head, but it hasn't transformed their hearts. It hasn't transformed the way that they live their lives. And sadly, our universities have become extremely hostile to Christians and to biblically based morality. There's even free speech zones in some certain college and university campuses where you can talk freely about certain topics inside this little zone. But if you're outside that zone, you're not supposed to talk about these kinds of things. Keep your Christianity private. Sit down, shut up, be quiet, go away. That's the message that's given to a lot of our students. And they're made fun of for holding on to these outdated religious beliefs and all these kinds of things. Friends, we have solid ground for believing what we believe. That's why we have someone like Clayton Van Hus on staff at SWRC. He's the director of our Affirm Apologetics branch of the ministry. And apologetics is something that is very near and dear to my heart. It is something that I was challenged with when I went into college. I was at a quote-unquote Christian college, and I say quote-unquote because it was a small school. It had a religious background, but it was sort of in name only. There was many students there who were not Christian, and they began to ask me hard questions about the Christian faith, that I simply didn't have the answers to. And that set me on a quest to discover, are there real answers for the historic Christian faith, or are we believing a lie? And I discovered teachers like Dr. Norman Geisler, who said, the unexamined faith is not worth believing. In other words, if you don't know how to defend your faith, why are you believing anything? But as I dove deep into understanding the Christian faith and the historical accuracy of the Christian faith and of the Holy Scriptures in particular, I was given a solid foundation for understanding why I believe what I believe. How many young people in our world today, how many young people in our churches today have that solid foundation undergirding why they believe what they believe? And that's one of the reasons that we're taking this Israel tour, and I am incorporating as much apologetics and Bible prophecy into it as I possibly can to show these are the real rocks. This is exactly the place where this happened. It's not a fairy tale made up some place far, far away on a distant planet in another galaxy or anything like that. No, it's real people in a real place at a real time, real events that actually happen and are recorded for us on the pages of Scripture. Read its pages and let our lives be changed for eternity. Friends, these are the headlines from the end times, and it shows us the closer we get to the rapture of the church, the darker the world is becoming, and the more they want to ignore the words of thus saith the Lord recorded for us in His Word, the Bible.
Stay up to date with the latest headlines with our Prophecy in the News magazine and weekly television program. Subscribe to the Prophecy in the News magazine for the latest insight and analysis of the world around us, and then tune in to the Prophecy in the News television program to stay informed, be encouraged, and deepen your understanding of God's Word. Prophecy in the News magazine and television program. Learn more by visiting swrc.com. That's swrc.com. And before we go today, I want to make sure that I send a very special thank you to everyone who has been giving a gift this week and becoming monthly partners, becoming what we call faithful friends. We need to hear from you right now. Your support allows us to produce these programs and publications, and you can give today by calling 1-800-652-1144 or just go to our website, swrc.com. Lord willing, we'll be back here Monday, ready to once again bring clarity to the chaos. So head into the weekend with the encouragement that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful friends just like you. To learn more, visit our website, swrc.com.